Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we are reminded of the words of the Lord Jesus, who said that your word is truth and that your word cannot be broken. It is the light that you have given to us to expose the darkness of our hearts and the darkness of the world, to show our need to turn to you for love and grace, that we cannot work ourselves back to you, but you must draw near to us in the first place. We love because you, first of all, loved us. And you show the truth of the world in your word. You show forth your Son, Jesus Christ, and our need for him. We pray then for understanding as we read and turn and hear your word. And ask, Father, for your Holy Spirit to be at work among us. In Jesus' name, amen. Earlier we were singing from Psalm number 39, where it says, Lord, show me that my life will end, how many days I will see, and cause me, Lord, to understand how brief my life will be. But when we come to understand something of the brevity of our own lives, so also we learn some wisdom and understanding from the Lord concerning our own lives. That our time here is short. None of us know how much longer we have before we are brought into the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ and into before the throne of God to give an account for our lives. And this is not something that we are to put to one side, but we are to keep always at the forefront of our minds. And in that we will learn something of what the Lord teaches us in his word about how we are to live today. For many, many millions upon millions live denying those truths, as though living as though we're here forever, living as though there is no end to this life. No wonder then the end of life can come as such a shock. I thought that just happened to other people. Well, when it comes closer to home or even to ourselves, are we prepared for that? Do we see the world understanding that as well? Certainly that's what the writer of Ecclesiastes was seeing, and this is in part what made him so wise in his understanding of the world. And the wisdom that we have here is passed on to us by the Lord, that's written by his Spirit, to teach us about our own lives. And the writer of Ecclesiastes, the preacher, Solomon, the wise man, the wisest of all people who had lived until that time, had sought diligently to live the best life. What is the best way to live? What can this world offer for me? And he searched it out, and he lived in ways that many can only dream of living. He had at his disposal everything that any person could ever desire for themselves, and yet he found no satisfaction in them. And this is an oft-repeated story. Those who have striven and achieved for as much as they can possibly have in the world and to gain it, yet also speak of the emptiness of their own experience and how the things which they have gained seem to mean so little to them. We read of Solomon who built houses and planted vineyards for himself and made himself gardens and parks, and planted all kinds of trees. He had all these things at his disposal. And yet once he had spent some time in them, it was like a child having had enough of a toy and wanting to throw it away. And this is the experience of many, if not all, of those who have achieved such wealth and gain for themselves. Solomon sought to live a life of pleasure. He dedicated himself to hedonism. This is how I'm going to live. I'm going to fill up my senses as much as I possibly can. I will not withhold myself from any pleasure in the world. Chapter 2, verse 1, I said in my heart, come now, I will test you with pleasure. Enjoy yourself. But behold, this also was vanity. So he had tried and tested that way of life, but found it wanting. So he turned to consider wisdom and to live the wise, discerning life, the life of making important decisions and being an important person. And he found that also was a vanity too. In chapter 2 and verse 15, what happens to the fool will happen to me also. Why then have I been so very wise? The end of it seems to him is this has been pointless. This has been fruitless for all that he had achieved. And he also lived the life of madness, folly, recklessness. Let's see how that works. And he found it was no better. Indeed, he found it worse, he says, than it was less satisfying than the wise life, according to the ways of the world. Pleasure, wisdom, folly, he had not found satisfaction in any of these things under the sun. So he moves on to the next possible thing. What else could bring me satisfaction, he says. And he says, well, maybe it'll be my work. Maybe it'll be my work. Maybe if I search for meaning and value in the world, in my work, then maybe then I will discover the satisfaction that I need. Maybe if I just work hard and I apply myself, maybe that is the way to live. But he finds in this way of life, verse 19, that this also is a vanity. This also is an empty way to live. If the most important thing in life is work, this will lead to emptiness. And things will seem to be meaningless and dissatisfying. This is the nature of business under the sun. Business which is conducted by someone who's only interested in worldly things. There is an emptiness to this. A dissatisfaction. Now, I suppose that many of you will have witnessed this, if not known it yourself. Because there are plenty of testimonies to this. The world, which is so unhappy about itself and unhappy about what it does. It's not enjoyed. It's a great toil, but as it says in verse 23, full of sorrow. Think of how many are just so unhappy in the workplace. His work is a vexation. That's business under the sun. But there's another kind of business too. A business which is above the sun. Business which is given to us from our Master. Business which is given to us to do from our Lord Jesus Christ. That kind of business is satisfying when we know that it is given to us from the Lord Jesus Christ. Whatever kind of work that is, whether it be in the arts, or whether it be working for the council, or whether it be in engineering or in farming, if we know that that work has been given to us from the Master, then there can be enjoyment in it. Matthew Henry says, the business which he made trial of was business under the sun. The things of this world, a searching for the riches, the honours, the pleasures of this present time. But there is business above the sun as well, perpetual business, which is perpetual blessedness. What we do in conformity to that business, doing God's will as it is done in heaven, and in pursuance of that blessedness, will turn to a good account. We shall have no reason to hate that labour nor to despair of it, but it is labour under the sun, labour for the meat that perishes, that Solomon here speaks of, with so little satisfaction. In business will often speak about transactions and the transactions that take place. Matthew Henry is there telling us of a transaction that needs to take place between ourselves and the Lord. That we are near to him, that we are following him, that we are listening to what he teaches us and what he wants us to do. Otherwise, we would be in despair, because we would be left under the sun. Well, why is it that this business under the sun is such a problem? Why is it that it leads to dissatisfaction? This is the Bible, not just, it's not making a judgment on behalf of others. It's simply just stating what the truth is. You must ask, why is it the case? Why is it the case that business under the sun cannot be satisfying? It is, he says, because of what happens in the end. We need this same wisdom from the psalm, Lord, show me that my life will end, how many days I'll see. This is what Solomon was seeing. This is how the wisdom is applied, so that we see the end. So we see where is all leading. And he explains further. in verse 18. I hated all my toil in which I toil under the sun, seeing that I must leave it to the man who will come after me. That is one of the problems, is that in the end, you have to give it all up. What you gain, you must leave to someone else. And you do not know how what you've gained will be used. Will it be used well or not? And whether it is used well or not, what you pass on, whichever it is, the person to whom you pass it on to will be the master, will be the one who decides whether it is used well or not. And this is something which brings him great sorrow, because Solomon worked hard. Oh yes, he worked hard for what he had, and yet he saw that he would lose it all. And that's what we must also come to see too, that whatever we gain in this world materially will be lost. There is no promise of gain, but there is promise of loss. And whatever is gained will be lost. Now think of those who strive so hard to gain, and whether they gain or not, no one knows, but they are certain to lose it. As certain as death. And certain because of death to lose everything which has been gained, everything which has been sought out for. Everything which the world works so hard for is in the end lost. And no wonder then he will say this is a great vanity. Well, it will all be lost in any case, but then again, it will be passed to someone who we don't know whether it will be used well or not. This is something which he speaks about causes the man to lose sleep. His heart at night does not rest. Because he is unable to control what happens. I hated all the things I must toil for because I must leave them. It sounds like words of a man who is on the very edge, who is thinking catastrophically in their lives. And we are warned today by psychologists, not to think that way. This is an example of a catastrophic thinker. Everything which could go wrong does go wrong. But yet, under the sun, in the end, everything is lost because of death. And really, therefore, what I think Solomon is getting at is something that we all must confront. And the sooner, the wiser, the better, that everything which is gained will be lost under the sun. Gain is not certain, but loss is certain. And Jesus tells us that we are to face up to this. For he says, whoever wishes to keep his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will keep it. Further to his sorrow is, again, the thought of passing on his work to someone else, not knowing whether the person will want it or not, whether the person will act wisely with it or not. Whatever
the person does. He says most certainly that
this person has not worked for it. They've simply been given it. And this again is something which causes distress to those who have accumulated great wealth in their lives. The sorrow of what you do with it at the end. So occasionally you hear stories of rich people who refuse to give their children anything in their will because they haven't worked for it, haven't done anything to deserve it in their view. Well, one of the church fathers, Athanasius, writes about this, and he says that really we should have the future in view, and that we should remember that what we have, we will not always have, and therefore to be prepared and to be ready to give to those who are in need, for there is a greater kingdom to come. We're not to store up our treasures on earth, but rather to store them in heaven. And that what we have in the world and what we are given, we use faithfully for the Lord Jesus Christ. One of the lies which the world buys into is the belief that what we have is rightfully ours. Obsessions we have are ours to keep. But we know that that is not true. It can't be true. What we have is on loan to us. And either it will break or it will stop working or we won't need it anymore. Or it will be passed on to someone else. There is nothing materially in this world which we have to keep. But because the world has bought into that lie, the gospel sounds so foreign. The gospel which shows us these truths. That we need to look to the things which are unseen, not the things which are seen. It's the things that are unseen that are eternal, first and foremost, God himself, who's given us all these things for a time to use in his service. We do not have exclusive rights on our possessions, but all will be taken away. Therefore, here the warning that is given to us that under the sun there is no satisfaction. But above the sun, there is. And that's why we need to look there to what God teaches us about himself and what we learn about our Lord who is in heaven and indeed who has come to us from heaven. We were hearing a little earlier of how Jesus said that he has come to do everything that God has told him to do, that Jesus had work to do. But this is not work under the sun, this is God's work. And we read about it, it's prophesied in Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 11, where it says, out of the anguish of his soul, he shall see and be satisfied. But the work which God gave the Lord Jesus to do was satisfying work. Because it was God's work and had an eternal purpose. Isn't it amazing to think that the work which God gave to his Son included his people, included us, those who look to the Lord Jesus Christ and trust in him, that he finds his satisfaction in saving a people for himself, saving a people from lives lived only under the sun, which are sinful and bring misery, and which lead people to conclude that their lives are in vain and have no meaning. The Lord Jesus Christ accomplished that work on the cross, where he declared, "It has been done. It has been finished." And it is through that sacrifice, through that offering which Jesus has made on the cross, that he is satisfied, that he brings us to himself, that all people that God has chosen will come to him. The psalm teaches us that we ask God to teach us to number our days. In Psalm 90, it says, "Let me know how fleeting my life is. Help me to count my days." If we do not do that, and if we live only under the sun, then we will neither find satisfaction at work or when we are away from work. For the person who works only under the sun does not find any rest in his heart and cannot sleep at night. I wonder if that's you. I wonder if that's you. Troubled because you have not yet been restored to the Lord. But by God's grace, he calls us to his Son, Jesus Christ, and to rest in him. Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And in the psalm it says, psalm number 4, "In peace I will both lie down and sleep. For you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety." Solomon sought safety in pleasure. He sought safety in wisdom and in folly. He sought safety in his work. We could not find it in any of these. But if we turn to the Lord, then we find enjoyment from him. For apart from him, who can eat or who can have enjoyment? Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, you have taught us in your words to seek your face. Today, while we have time. Today is a day of salvation, a favourable day that you have given to us, the offer of your Son, Jesus Christ, and that any whosoever should call upon his name will find rest for their souls, find forgiveness for their sins, find a Redeemer who saves. We praise you, therefore, for your goodness to the world, for your patience with us. Help us for each one who is in a workplace to be an ambassador for the Lord Jesus Christ. Help each one, we pray, to be faithful to you in often in workplaces that are hostile or not wanting you to be spoken about. We pray that the work that you give to each one of us will be pleasing and satisfying for us, knowing that it comes from you. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.